Heather.
Hi.
Keith Copley.
Kathy.
Point of view.
I'm Scott Perry.
Hi.
No.
Ready? You can listen.
I put you to work over here.
We'll call the Yamhill Water Advisory Committee meeting to order. Get a roll call.
Phillips here.
Wofford here.
Jensen here.
Yeah.
Paul.
Smoland here.
Yes. And John.
Smoland's here.
Yep. Christensen online.
All right. Thank you. So today, our whole presentation today is, I'll let Jason introduce them, and our whole thought today is to get some insights and you can expand on lot rates, all that good stuff.
Yeah. With us here, we got Heath Coakley and Scott, sorry, Scott's last name, but they're very sorry, from OAWU to explain some of the pros and cons of some of the rates that we can explore as a city, as a community. So with that said, I mean, if there's any questions to kind of get a baseline for them to, I know we've gone over a few things in a brief little meeting.
Yeah, so our hope is to kind of have a question and answer, right?
More of a Q&A.
Whatever you want to throw.
We kind of kicked around flat rates and doing that. And
so giving your definition of flat rate.
Well, looking at a base rate and then whatever you use on
per thousand up to whatever
you pay. So easy figuring it, say $50 a month is the flat rate. And then if you use 1,000 gallons or 10,000, you
have $3 or whatever that per thousand rate.
You pay whatever. And Jason kind of come back and said, well, maybe flat rate's not the answer. So that's why we asked if maybe you could bring the experts in it.
And one of the reasons the flat rate came up is because last summer when we had the water curtailments, they have a minimum of 4,000, right?
Correct.
And so people were saving, conserving, and you know, using a couple thousand gallons of water, but they were paying for four. A lot of complaints came about, you know, we should be able to use the water that we pay for.
Right.
So that's where some of this is coming from.
And that's for inside city residents.
Okay.
Not the outside 10 water districts.
And Jason and I talked about that as well. And my comment was, yeah, you're gonna have those people that were responsible water users and saved and only used 2,000. Can I get a credit for the other 2,000 in that water rate? So you restructure your rate structure, and now you're charging a base rate for the first 1,000 and then a per thousand rate for every 1,000 gallons thereafter. Now it's all of those people that used under that base rate all the time,
mm-hmm.
but they're paying more because
yeah,
they're getting charged for essentially every gallon that goes through their meter.
Yeah. And where I think some people miss, or at least in my mind, how I view a base rate, not necessarily, and the base rate can be whatever. It can be 2,000, 4,000, it can be zero. I mean, you have that option. To me, a base rate is the availability of the water. It's the cost of the infrastructure. It's the cost of your water treatment plant, your distribution system, all those hard costs just to have that infrastructure available to then serve the water, and then you have the cost of the water after that.
I think that's what we were kind of looking at is, you know, the infrastructure, that cost,
yes.
And then the water, whatever you use on after that is you pay for what you use.
Yeah. And we see systems that pick different. 4,000 gallons on, honestly, is probably one of the most common ones we run into. That seems to be, I think, the average American household, 2.4 people per house, they figure they're going to use 3,800 gallons a month. That seems to be a pretty common usage. I've seen systems that have a base rate of only 1,000 gallons, and I see other systems that have a lot higher base rate. But always trying to make clear is I think that base rate is just to cover the hard cost, the day-to-day cost of running the utility, and then cost for people to use more after that. So most of the time we run into it, and thank you for the explanation of a flat rate. I think I had my definition a little different. I was thinking like just one hard flat rate for whether you use 2 gallons or whether you use 100,000 gallons. And so that helped. Most of the time what we see is still a tiered structure though. So you have the flat base rate for so much. And then like some of your neighboring cities have gone to tiered rates where, let's say the 4,000 to 10,000 gallons cost you this much per thousand, $6 per thousand, whatever that is. The next 10,000 gallons, 10,000 to 20,000 might cost you $7. And it goes up the more water you're consuming. So tends to be the norm. We see cities that do it differently, but that tends to be.
Some cities use cubic feet.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But it's still fairly comparable because most of the time on the water side, we're using 1,000 gallons. They say 100 cubic feet of water. 100 cubic feet of water is 748 gallons. So right. It's a little off, but we can still compare it close to apples to apples. So.
Yeah. Carlton has cubic feet. Mm-hmm. And they also have an additional, besides their base rate and their consumption rate per 100, I think it's 100 cubic feet, they have an additional charge that they figure at the end of the year based on total consumption to analyze how much water is going back into the sewer system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the winter months, they're saying, okay, your average, most cities do it winter months because summer months, it's a skewed number, but most cities go, okay, the three winter months, we're gonna take your water usage, and then we're gonna make that your sewer rate for the rest of the year because they want the, in winter, you're assuming whatever they're using is inside water use, it's going through the toilet. Summertime, it's not.
We'll say one interesting thing that Scott Heath brought to my attention that I don't think that we've been directed to or even thought about is looking at our rates almost on a yearly level where we're looking at cost of living with our rates. So if like, you know, we should be increasing our rates with what power costs, and that's the biggie. I mean, because once our power goes up and our rates go up to what it costs to keep the infrastructure going, we have to, in a sense, up our rates to keep up with that cost, or we're going to be losing. So we're always going to be in the red, more so in the black.
And we've seen that happen. I'm sure you've seen in the news some of the larger water utilities, I won't name names, but larger water utilities that have had to go up dramatically in their rate structure. Frequently that's happened because they haven't. Yes, sir.
Well, one of the problems we ran into last year was that 10 outside districts are buying the surplus water the city has. In my case, not only was I not able to use a lot of water, I had to go to an outside, another town, buy water, chuck it in, and still paying for the 4,000 gallons. Because we got commercial businesses being run in the outside districts, and you know, how are you going to, if they're going to restrict the city, I want them to restrict the outside districts too, just so it's fair across the board for everybody. And we cut the usage in town last summer by 50%. It continued business as usual in the outside, which for the most part of some variables that were thrown in.
No, we did not. We curtailed our water use.
You might have, but there were many that were still watering their cow pastures or whatever. And like the mushroom plant, I'm told that they use a tremendous amount of water.
They kept a bunch of water in last year too when this water shortage hit.
Yeah, so I'm saying just fair across the board. We don't want to be a citizen versus the outside war. Just if it's fair for everybody, nobody has the right
to. I would say this, Doug. I mean, going back to what Heath and Scott were saying earlier, that 4,000 that we have built into the base rate is to support the water plant, the distribution system, and how we basically, in a sense, just deliver you water. I mean, no matter what that number is, we have to have that. So we can't curtail down and say, okay, well, you only use 2,000. All of a sudden, you know, we have less money for the infrastructure.
There's a cost.
I understand that, but keep in mind, the city has a contract surplus water. So if I can't use my 4,000 gallons, how are they entitled to water? It's surplus water we sell them. And it's also supposed to be, many of the contracts they have state for domesticated animals only.
Domestic use.
After talking to the city attorney, that doesn't include having a horse farm where you're charging people for their horses or raising pigs. It's, you know, domesticated use. just like me, you say my house is based on but 2.4 was your average, I think.
Yeah.
That's fine. But then shouldn't everybody else have to follow some guidelines? But somebody's just wasted water during that time because they claim they didn't get notified or whatnot. But it's not really fair that their gardens are growing lusciously and people in city limits are dying because we can't water. That's all I wanted, is just fair across the board for everyone. Well, I'm not one thing special.
I think today I want to hold this to just talking about water rates. I don't want to talk about in the past. We're just discussing water rates, and we're going to have a presentation with these gentlemen. And that's all I want to keep this meeting to.
So I do have a question about the rate portion of it. So I know PGE increased their rates. In fact, they've increased them twice just within the last year. But I don't know what that percentage is. Does anybody know what that percentage is that they, when they increase their rate? Because they increase them every year. And the only reason I know that is because I'm on the average thing, you know, where I pay the same amount every year for 11 months or whatever the case may be. So I know the city increases the water rate by 3% every year. That's a given. Last 2 years, yes. Yeah, oh, yes, they do.
Well, it's gone because of the transmission line.
Right, but for the last couple of years, it was 17% per year. Yes. And in fact, it should be going up. Our next bill should be the 17% difference.
So it's going up 34%.
34% the last 2 years, but yearly, they increase it by 3%. That's how it's been since I've lived here.
I have to refer to John on that because I didn't think that was true.
So when we did the rate study in 2016, the rates hadn't increased in quite a while.
Right.
So when that rate study was completed, the initial recommendation was to do an increase, and then we were doing annual 3% increases until we brought the transmission line project on. And then we had a few years where we were doing 17% increases. But the way the ordinance is currently written is that we will always have a 3% rate increase across the board. And I think maybe to your point, Jason, that 3% may not be keeping up with operational costs and inflation and those kinds of things. So, you know, evaluating what that appropriate rate increase is annually is certainly something to look at.
Okay, so my question is, I mean, are we looking at and let's just say 7%, because I, for whatever reason, I think that's in my mind what PGE raised this last year. Do you guys know?
I don't know what they raised, but.
So, and not necessarily me, but there are elderly people in town that just freaking can't do that 7% increase. Would there be information not online in the bill, like a separate piece of paper that could go to those folks so that they can get some kind of assistance within Yamhill County or whatever to help them, you know? I mean, would this be an option?
I don't know what's out there.
I think we're getting a little sidetracked here, guys.
Not really, because if the building service, these people are
to get OAWU's feedback in and what inputs go into a rate study and how do we arrive at what we feel like is the appropriate rate for the city, and then obviously it gets elevated to city council to make the decisions on this, but this should be more informative from OAWU's side on what information is needed to generate rates.
Okay, so how much does it cost for you all to produce, I guess, a gallon of water? What's the cost that it costs the city to produce that gallon of water?
1.5 cents.
1.2 cents.
Sorry.
Okay. So 1,000 gallons, it's what? $50, $60, whatever. Okay.
Yeah. Again, we shouldn't be talking about numbers here. We need to understand the structure.
I can talk to you offline about that, but with OAW here, I'll just let them describe what they came here to kind
Okay.
So according to the ordinances, it's a pretty complex structure that has to be set up because it talks about ADUs, which can be variable by the type of dwelling. My house is one EDU. The school is 20 EDU or one EDU per 20 students.
What does EDU stand for?
Pardon?
The equivalent dwelling unit.
Okay, thank you.
And then you have classes of users, you know, residential users inside the city, commercial users inside the city, water districts, mainline users. And I think that's the only district they talk about, even though we do have some, they're not mainline users, but they're working off the city rates out here in the county, about five homes.
Oh, that's
out there past the new development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That go between 240 and 46.
Yeah. You know, so it's a pretty complex system, and you have to look at each user and put them into a class and put them into an EDU.
And so we had mentioned that a rate study was done in 2016. I'm assuming all that was evaluated in the rate study.
Well, I was on the council at the time, and that stuff never came up. It was never put out as part of the study. I mean, it may have been taken into account in the data accumulation, but it was not put out as part of the report.
My recollection. And the standard residence is going to be one because it's just, it's a baseline how we, this business is going to use 2.3 times as much as a standard household.
Yeah. Well, Brian, didn't you ask the city council to start a rate study?
We talked to him about it, but it's on, John, wasn't that on our list to do?
I think that's why we're here today, to get OAW's feedback on what they think is appropriate to include in a rate study.
So we have addressed it with council, and I think that's, again, that's why we're here today, is to get more information, pass on to council, kind of steer where this rate study goes. Everything the way it is today, you've got to be fluid in moving that.
Well, and that's the difficult, if the last rate study was done in 2016, and that's obviously 6 years and obviously some very unique years in there, as far as
inflation and everything else. Jason, correct me, did you say at our current rate at losing
$11 per 4,000?
$11 per 4,000 gallons. So
it's unsustainable to continue that way.
Yeah, and so we don't have the funds to go out for grants or anything else to move forward to improve. we just got to get that rate study done and get on track. And we got to set it up in a way that will manage that on a more quarterly almost basis anymore. I mean, with the cost of stuff today, or we're not going to have anything.
Behind the times.
Yeah. And that's what we were saying at the very beginning. When you get behind the times, like every year after, you're behind it.
From 2016 forward, they've been doing 3%, but I didn't think how many years it had been since the last rate increase from that point forward. Because it wasn't 3% every year.
Yeah. And I'll admit that I've actually gotten in trouble with boards and councils before, because I've heard the comment, there's no good time to raise rates. And my response is typically, it's early and often. And unfortunately, that's why we're discussing like that 3% every year, figuring out what that number is. So at least you're going up and keeping up with the existing times, as well as hoping to add a little bit more, because I know you have some aging infrastructure, you got projects coming up, being able to put some money aside so you can start taking care of those 20-year master plan. And that's what a rate study is gonna have to encompass. A rate study, ideally with a rate study, is whoever's doing a rate study is gonna look at we need a base rate that's going to pay for our existing infrastructure, for our treatment plant, for our distribution system, the current infrastructure. And then we need to build into our, if you do a tiered rate or a flat rate, whatever you choose to do, you need to build into all those projects in the master plan. Okay, in the next 20 years, we plan on doing $9 million worth of projects. Well, let's start building those projects into that rate structure so we can afford to take those one by one. And that's what a rate study, my OAW has provided rate studies. We've done a number of the local cities around here. Our rate expert on staff is Tim Tice. And I'm not saying that just to say you have to go with us to do a rate study. There's a lot of other firms that do rate studies. Engineering firms do rate studies. I may be able to talk to you offline about some possible grant resources that might be able to help with the cost of it. But I think starting with that baseline of getting a rate study, today's dollars, figuring out what you need to start putting aside in order to cover that master plan is very important for the city.
What all do you guys look at when you include rate studies? You know, you got your facilities, your distribution.
The total cost of operations, which includes power, chemicals, personnel, all of those things that encompass cost of operations.
As well as future projects.
Yeah.
So, you include any maintenance? Do you have a set?
Yeah. And it has to start with, you know, the past couple of years of budget, how much has been budgeted for each one of those things. And you take into account not only that existing budget, but whether or not goals were met as a result of that budget. So, because, you know, quite often we do these things for municipalities that are a bit behind in their rate structure. So that has to be accounted for as well.
What have you run across the different municipalities concerning unbilled water?
Unbilled as far as
water that's gone through a meter and just...
Yeah, the city uses water, but it doesn't pay for it.
Not in particular, but I gotta say, that sounds like chasing your tail. It would cost more to generate the bill, cut the check, then the same people that generated the bill and cut the check have to then deposit.
Well, I go back to a former employee that they did that down in California where he worked, including the water plant had, you know, a portion that it paid for the water that it used. And he said ultimately it worked out well. He thought it wasn't going to, but it also instituted a lot of conservation.
See, that's where I would absolutely, not necessarily billing for that water, but absolutely tracking the water. I mean, use so many, the CL17s, the Hawk Forbidden Mucide, all the different treatment plant devices in our plants that are consuming water. You absolutely want to have an idea how much water they're consuming, because that goes into your overall leak. And we shouldn't say leak loss because we call it non-revenue water. It's not necessarily a leak. It could be inaccurate meters. There can be a number of different things. But if you're trying to track that accurately, you have to look at your instrumentation too. Because I've seen plants that it accounts for a couple percentage points. So, but more than that, when you factor in backwashing as well.
So how long does it take to do this study? A ballpark?
Probably a few months.
Really?
Yeah. And it depends on who's doing it, whether it's us doing it, whether it's an engineering firm. Everyone have a different set of timelines, and it depends on availability, because now, like everything, it seems like everyone's stretched a bit too thin. I know when Tim does rate studies for us, what he tends to try to build in is I'm coming to council, giving several presentations to the council, because it's not just a here's one size fits all, and that's why you have to do a rate study. There's no one size that fits all. Every treatment plant, if you had a groundwater well, it'd be a totally different rate study than having a surface water treatment plant. So every rate study is going to be unique, and he's going to have to come to the council as well as provide additional options. He's not just going to be coming and saying, oh, no, you need to charge $50 per month for 4,000 gallons, and you need to do this much for every he's going to be giving options as far as, well, this could be your base rate for 2,000 gallons, and this is the cost for if you did a three-tier rate structure, or this would be the cost for a five-tier. If you wanted less for your base rate, he's going to provide some different options of that. So as well as any other firm that does those, that's the norm is 3 to 5 options at least to give a council some ability to build in for, well, if you have a large percentage of people that are only using 2,000 gallons, okay, how do we make it fair and equitable across the board?
What's the normally cost rough ballpark per rate study?
And really, you're asking the wrong two people as far as costs go.
If it wasn't.
I think just conversationally, earlier we threw out the number 12,000.
Yeah. And I know it's gone higher. I know we did a rate study recently for the city of Amity and city of Dayton, and I want to say they were close to that. But so Scott and I's programs are very different than what Tim does. So Tim does the 4CV services. We do a lot of the for free services where we come discuss with council. But I want to say the 12 was pretty close to the last number I heard. It could be higher than that. So
yeah.
Tim's the best one to ask.
So would he have in that rate study, would it give you advice as to how often to raise and the percentage of rates to raise?
Yeah. So he's going to give you a timeline for, and Tim, like both Scott and I, is a firm believer in adopting a price hike that is every single year, because sometimes it takes some of that burden off the council as well.
It does.
You're adopting a 5-year, and now people are going, well, why did you raise the rate again? Well, we didn't. This was the plan to go up by this much every year. And then I know he also builds into that to come after that rate structure has been implemented. He sets a meeting for a year after that rate structure has been implemented, because he's actually been great with numbers and spread.
And those rate increases, are they specified then strictly for the water department as far as maintenance and all that kind of thing is concerned? Does that money then go to the water, or does it go to the city to spend as they like?
And that's really out of
I can tell you that being on the budget committee, all your water user money and sewer money goes to public works. Okay. None of it comes to the city. The only thing that comes into the city is the public works basically contracts with the city for admin services, for like Kim to do the water bills,
yeah.
Sharon did.
Yeah.
So it's, there's probably equivalent of one and a half office people that they pay for. It comes out of your water bill, but your water money and your sewer money is strictly for public works. It cannot be used at first.
Okay, so when you talk about maintenance, are you talking only about equipment maintenance, or are you talking about building maintenance also?
We talk about maintenance, we're talking about distribution and the water plant. We're not talking about vehicle maintenance. Or
No. I'm talking building maintenance. You weren't at the meeting, but I showed a picture of one of the buildings down there that is pathetic,
yeah,
to say the least.
How's that done?
The tanks.
All that needs to be included.
I think so.
And that's the problem we're at now is the fee is not providing enough to do all the maintenance, the upkeep, the operations. It is mainly every penny's going just to keep the water flowing into town.
And to add to that, with the water conservation plan, with the water rate study, it holds the city liable in a sense to keep up with our end of things. Like, you know, hey, we have X has to go to a new reservation, you know, new reservoir, new distribution, new water meters. I mean, it's just a constant flow of, you know, checks and balances in a sense, but it gives us the flexibility.
Water bill is $52.15 a month. That includes 4,000 gallons. That comes out to 1.3 cents per gallon. Jason's proposal is 1.2 cents, which would bring the rate at $48. So the difference between the 48 that Jason says it's costing him to produce the water, 4,000 gallons, the 52.15, that's $4.15 a month that is what the city is paying extra, we'll say, compared to what he says it costs to get the water out of the plant. Times 552 meters, which is the city only, comes to $27,489.60 in 1 year. With that said, that doesn't include the winter months where Patty, me, and everybody here in the city doesn't use the 4,000 gallons that is normally set up for us to use. We might use 22, 23, 2400 in the winter months. So that water would be going back to the city as unused. So figuring just a small percentage of 1%, you're still talking $2,800 in addition to the $27,489. So, you know, I don't see where he says we're losing money.
Well, so I have a concern with that, and it's this. So I see what you're saying about the 1.2 cents. He's saying that's what it cost him to produce the water, power cost, chemical cost. Right. We're not factoring in the multi-million dollar cost of that asset, the treatment plant, and the distribution system.
Right, but there's $29,000 paid into the system for whatever. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's the water or whatever. It is what it is. The difference of $4.15 a month. So, you know, and that's current as of last month. Because our water bill went up another 17% this month, so it's going to be an additional.
But do you understand, Robert, that 17% doesn't go back into the water, it just pays for our loan.
Yeah, no, I was just talking raw numbers here.
So you haven't raised your rates to take anything into effect for additional costs for anything.
Exactly.
All you've done is raised your 17% to pay for this
one project.
So you have not done anything since, well, for 2 years to increase your rates for your everyday costs that have gone up stupidly.
Right. Yeah, anyway, I was just running some numbers so people understand.
Well, I could bring my notes, Robert, and we can talk because it could be for 1,000.
I thought it was for 1,000.
I think you could be right because I was thinking overall.
I was trying to go, I've got it written down in my notes somewhere. I thought it was per thousand.
A dollar something?
We were losing $11 per thousand.
Really? Yeah, because that's changed in the last year, because about a year ago or so, it was, that dollar amount wasn't stated. But either way.
We just got that number early this
months ago.
Yeah, it's only been a few months we got that number.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that dollar amount never came up before, so.
I'd have to go back somewhere I've got it.
So you're talking about raising it $44 on top of the 52, which makes it $96.15 a month. Is that what you're
talking
saying?
About raising it right now?
Yeah.
No. But I'm just saying, if we go by your $11 and something per thousand, and we're talking a 4,000 gallon user like myself, which actually I use more than that in the summer months, you're talking about raising it $44 on top of my 52. That's a lot of money.
I was just talking about loss. I haven't been talking about what we're
up in
at all.
No, I'm just saying.
I know you're just saying, but you're putting me in a position that you're saying that I said something that I didn't say.
No.
So I'm saying that's what we're losing per thousand. That's all I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the rate study thing. So as far as like right now, they're increasing the base rate of 17% and the 1,000 number of 17%. Is that a normal function? If you were doing a cost of living raise each year, would you raise both of them? Or would you raise just your what you figure your water per 1,000 gallons cost?
So that 17% is to account for debt service, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So until that debt service changes, that raise kind of stays the same, but it does not account for the real costs. And yeah. And the 1.3 number that Jason threw out there, I'm assuming is more of an apparent cost. It does not take into account things like debt service and all of those other numbers that equate to the real cost of the water per 1,000 gallons. And that's the kind of thing that a rate study has to really encompass all of that.
Yeah. Aren't we still have a loan out on that water plant.
Correct.
That we're paying for that's not included in that 1.3. Mm-hmm. So out of that $52 that we're paying a month, part of that's going to pay the water plant loan.
It'd be fun to see the loans and when they end.
I was actually going to ask, and maybe we can talk about it after, but I would absolutely look at that and look at the interest rate. I see so many loans and 20-year loans that it's time to pay it off because the interest rate's so
high. Yeah, that's been discussed.
Well, and the 17% increase is only for 2 years, last year and this year. That's it. And then it's done. Then it goes back to 3%.
Yeah, but it's accumulated because even though it doesn't go up next year, you're still paying the 17% increase for the last 2 years.
Right. But it's not going to increase another 17% year after year.
But
just
you're not
for
taking
those
it away.
Years.
You're not taking the 17% two times away either.
Right.
Adding money on to pay additional costs after the 17% won't hurt quite so bad. Maybe. I don't know. Your phone.
No. It is what it is. It's not a
one. There's an off button.
So, John, we lost John.
I'm back on, Brian.
You're back up, John.
It just keeps dropping off and going back.
Thoughts,
John?
Yeah, so there were a few questions along the way there. One was asked about timelines for the rate study. The 2016 one, the bulk of the work was done in about 3 months. And then it was about a 4-month process of going through presentations to city council, adopting the resolution and so on. So all in all, it was about an 8-month process to get new rates in place. And one of the items that was changed in that rate structure was, well, a few things. The prior rate increase was 2003. So the city went from 2003 to 2016 without any rate changes at all. And that was a big, deficit for the city.
Yeah, but to repeat what we always said, that means you have to pay catch up.
Years.
So we also changed the base rate from 6,000 gallons to 4,000 gallons. And we dropped that base usage. We did account for capital projects, but we were also trying to be cognitive of not, there was such a gross amount of capital improvements to be accomplished, and trying to cover that entirely with rates was just going to be too much for the community to pallet. So it was a bit of a balance between finding a rate that would be approvable and acceptable to the community and also building some funds for some of the capital projects.
Kind of go back to your comment about the loans. So we have two loans. One loan comes due paid off in 2032. We currently owe $602,589. That's at a 1% interest. We have another loan that will be paid off in 2041. That's a $2,532,601 at a 3.09% interest.
What's that one for, Brian? Does it say?
I think the 2.5, isn't that the transmission?
Yeah, that's the transmission.
Yeah. That's the new one that just did. Yeah. So is the other one in 2032, is that the treatment plan?
That's the treatment plan.
So was that loan put into place for the life of that treatment plant?
Probably. I mean,
it's going to run out of life before you get to that 2030.
It was taken out in 2001.
So it's going to be about a 30-year loan.
Yeah.
On that treatment plant.
Oh, it's like taking out a 20-year loan on a car that's going to last 10 years.
Exactly.
Because at 10 years, you have to do an upgrade of your water plant to keep it current.
Have we done any upgrades on the water plant? I'm not getting off subject. I'm sorry.
Well, there's been software upgrades and stuff like that. Some of the mechanical stuff.
No facility
upgrade.
Yeah.
Kind of off subject. What would a new water plant cost today?
Oh boy.
You wouldn't want to price one today. You need to wait until something changes.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem is the numbers we talked today were so drastically different the year ago and 2 years ago. And in 07, I put in 4.5 miles of a 12-inch mainline for $1 million. That same project would cost me over $10 million today. Easy. Right? It's mm-hmm. gone up so astronomical.
The pipe itself has gone up.
Yeah. So I would hate to tell you what a conventional filter of your size would cost to totally replace. Luckily, the physical aspects of the plant, the concrete, are going to last for a while. You'll just have upgrades. You'll have oil changes along the way. So, and that tends to be how I encourage cities to budget when you're doing a loan. A 40-year loan on a main line that you know is going to last at least 50 years, I don't have a lot of heartburn with. A treatment plant that you tend to be looking at, well, in 20 years, we're going to have to put a bunch of money. I really don't like to kick that loan out too much longer than exactly 10 years on a, or 20 years on a 10-year car. So
kind of on those lines, again, kind of, so we've looked at tying in with Hillsborough. So we're about 5.5 miles from their connection point to a connection point on our end. So I think we were rough numbers, 10 million. Do that. By the time we get around to do it, it's probably 15 or 20.
No.
In your guys' thoughts, is it better to dump a lot of money into our treatment plan or look at joining resources?
I would need more information to answer that question. it's such a hard, well, Jason and I have discussed in the past, you have some options connecting to a larger system's an option. The water treatment plant, that option is dependent on the source.
Water source.
Yeah, the water source. Another option in your location is looking for some groundwater sources to at least augment during the summer. A lot of cities do that. And it would take somebody with, I'd have to sit down and look at your system specifically and your dynamics to be able to answer that better. I'm sorry, that's just the way.
Well, it's because we have in the works to do a study for another impound coming down mm-hmm. Turner Creek, which would give us more water storage, or could give us more water storage. It would allow us to clean out the upper one and again give us more water storage. And use the water that we currently have access to, which in all reality should work in, you know, the drought year last year. Had we had more millions of gallons of storage, it wouldn't have been such a
when that's the hard part, it's a double-edged sword. Being hooked to another large system, you've got resiliency built in. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of positives to that. There's also a lot of positives to having additional source. And another positive to being hooked to another system, there tends to be, when you're talking to Loudoun Grant state and federal funders, systems hooking to other systems tend to be a project that, because it's such built-in resiliency, it tends to be one that is funded fairly frequently. So I absolutely encourage you to look at that aspect. I just don't encourage you to only look at that. Look at every different.
As we've been looking at different sources, I mean, McMinnville, but Hillsborough still seems to be, it comes in on the right side of town. Comes in before it would come in before the reservoirs, you know, would get fed. This McMinnville's would come in on the distribution side, which, you know, or maybe we'd put it from the reservoir out there, but they're a little bit more tight on what you can do with the water, the city McMinnville is, or backwater line, excuse me. And Hillsborough doesn't seem to have stipulations.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be, it's going to be an equation, not only how tight they are with the water, but also just the line. Not just the cost per mile of pipe by 5.5 miles. It might appear, it'd be easy to say, oh, one's 5.5 miles away, one's 2 miles away. This, the 2 mile away makes sense. Well, you also have to factor in elevation, cost of pumping. There's so many different factors. It's hard to get one just blanket answer.
Exactly.
Well, we know on the 5.5 mile, we'd have to put in a pump station. Just reach over the peak there. But it, the benefit there, it would come down and tie into our transmission line coming from the treatment plant now and feed directly to our reservoirs.
The problem I see with the city of Yamhill's water issues is that they can't afford to do two projects. I mean, right now you can't afford to do one. But to think that we're going to do the city of Hillsborough project and do an impound project all together, unless you're going to double or triple the water rates right now, there's no feasible way you're going to do it dollar-wise, unless you don't can't get a grant that pays 100%. You know, that's what I've, sitting here, as a business owner, I mean, you can't put that many things into play at one time. So I don't know what the answer is, and no matter what the city decides, someone's going to say that was the wrong decision. I mean, what they do in somewhere. So there's going to be that issue.
So I have a question. I didn't attend last council meeting, but one right previous to that, they were talking about the extra impound up there. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what the gallons were that would come out of that, but that was a relatively small amount, 800,000 or something, 80,000.
No, millions.
Millions.
It was millions.
20 to 30 million gallons storing.
No.
The cost. It was 50,000 roughly for the study.
Okay.
To do that. And then you got to do that so you can get the cost to build it.
Right.
So it's probably, John could probably answer.
Yeah. Awesome.
Rough scenario, John?
What it would cost to build the inbound?
Yeah, the offline reservoir.
Yeah, sorry to take the easy way out here, but that's why we need the study.
Yeah,
so a lot of factors that go into that to evaluate cost, and
so that's why we need. It's going to cost considerably less to get that impound started, because we're talking 5 years or so to hook up to whatever other resource. So why isn't that being focused on now as far as our water rates are concerned to help compensate for the cost of that so that we can at least get an additional water source to keep us afloat, so to speak, until this other decision can be made as far as where we're going to get additional water. And in the meantime, additional monies can be brought in through rate increases and whatever else to address the water, the long-term water issue.
So short-term, I mean, with the offline impound, we've already, I say we, but the budget committee and council have put money aside to get that study done. Once that study is done and we have a hard cost in a sense, then we can start to navigate which route we want to go. Obviously, me personally, with the offline, yeah, that's your short-term goal. That's
right.
Going to store your 30 million gallons. Like Kathy said, give us the chance to clean the upper impound. and feed us and supplement us what we were losing last year with, you know, not having the creek at its full potential. But more or less what we're here to discuss as a community, how do we not fail in the water system? And those rate increases, due to the fact that they weren't put on you guys years ago, has put us in a bad position where we can't even get Project A done. And that's where we need to really focus on is how, why we have OAW here is what is going to be the most successful route for a community of our size. Economically, you know, we're not thriving. So what are we going to do as a system, as a community, as public works, as whomever is involved with this water advisory committee to move forward and have that money set aside for these projects? That's bottom line, because we're hurting. No matter how you scope it up mathematically, there isn't money to do these projects. And we're going to have to take out another loan that's going to push us out to 2060 so that next generation will be paying for our mistakes, what we didn't take on. And that's, it's a burden to us now, but imagine what it's going to be 20, 30 years from now. This community is going to be significant.
I totally understand And the thing about it is that, and I'm not here to, or, you know, to go back and forth, but if these issues were addressed, and what I'm seeing is that it's, and nothing against you guys, but the same thing is going on. It's talk, talk, talk. This is what we need, but absolutely nothing is happening. So it needs to stop the talk and start the action.
I can say that there is movement going. The budget committee, the council did approve the $50,000 to do the study for the offline that we needed. They also allotted $100,000 seed money in there to either go towards the offline project or do the tie line project, whatever that study comes in after that. We need that seed money to even be able to start to look at grants, because if you have nothing, you're not gonna get anything. You've gotta have some seed money. And so that's why we pushed in this budget this year, is to get, at least get some seed money earmarked for projects, and it is earmarked for those projects. We went through and lined those out. We did the same thing with the park. We lined out money and earmarked it. So there is forward movement going on. It's just taking the time to get the studies done.
But that's my point, because if money needs to be set aside for somebody to do whatever, to figure out how much our rates are need to be, then that should be the priority. Okay, we're gonna go forward with this. We need X amount of dollars. Let's get it done so that you all can start getting things done for this town to survive.
And that's why, well, that's why we pushed for the conservation plan and the leak study, because we needed those two pieces to apply for grants, and the city hadn't done that. And so that's why we pushed for those two. They're currently being worked on.
Are they? Good.
Yeah. So the leak study and the conservation plan are in process right now, being worked on. As soon as we get that information back, the next piece is the rate study. And that's kind of why we were here today to talk to these gentlemen, is get their input on rate studies. Because like I said, we kicked around flat rate, we've kicked around several different scenarios. And so we're trying to get their brain in.
So I still haven't heard the pros and cons of a flat rate, say $50 per meter, so much per 1,000 gallons versus what they have structured right now. So what is the advantages and disadvantages of structuring your rates then? Because our water district, I can't speak for the rest of them. We pay, so we have a meter rate for each user and so much per 1,000 gallons of usage after that. And so everybody's getting paid. We don't have any over so many thousands of gallons.
It doesn't go up.
No, it's one flat rate, which we had to do the same when 17% increase came along. We had to sit down and look at, because we were the same boat Amil was. Basically, our water district had been fixing some repairs. We had a pump blowout. When we got done fixing things, we never built any funds back up again. So when we did the 17%, we went higher than that. So we now have some money sitting. So because we have two pumps and a well house and a lot of line and reservoirs. And so that's how we did it. And it's servicing our needs for our district. But I don't, when you said there was, that wasn't always the best way to go, I'm kind of curious. What for the outside water districts, I don't see a 4,000, we have a lot of 4,000 gallon users, but they're all paying basically the same for 1,000 on whether they are low user or high users.
Yeah, essentially they're paying, whether it's 4,000.
It's on the user.
30,000.
Yeah. But that's what I'm trying to understand. We used to do it different, more along the structures of the city of Yemen, how they did. They had a minimum. When I first started doing this 20 years, that's what it was, how it set was set up. And we've changed it since to a different kind of structure.
So there's pros and cons to each, and there's different scenarios, which one's better. Your scenario specifically, because I'm specifically with the curtailment last year, when your water source is in jeopardy, the tiered structure, it's a forced conservation. I say it that way, but it's, if somebody gets a water bill for watering their lawn and they're in the 12,000 gallon rack and that kicked their per thousand cost up, they're going to hopefully start to go, oh, am I overwatering my lawn? Maybe I should check how much I actually need to put on to keep the grass green. So that type of a tier frequently just builds in conservation. So it depends on what the city's goal is.
What do you see when you go to the tier? What do you see kind of the high end? Say if you had somebody hit that 12,000 mark versus tier one to tier five.
As far as specific dollar amounts that we
just
would
did, you guys, you know,
boy.
Is it a dollar more per thousand or 50 cents more per thousand? How do you?
And that all has to come back to the specifics of your needs as a utility. And really, we can tell you what we've seen in the past, and it can be anywhere from between tier one up to tier two, anywhere from just under a dollar to as much as like $8 step for that next tier. But really, it has to come back to a really comprehensive rate study on what the requirements for the city of Yamhill are, not.
Well, and a follow-up guide, because you do that rate study and you implement that rate and it forces conservation, suddenly the numbers you're working with a year from now might change because people may learn that, oh, I'm going to water less, I'm going to do this. That will adjust some of your numbers, and that's why you have to reevaluate it again to make sure that it's still meeting the mark where you need it to be to not only pay for your existing infrastructure, but also put funds aside to replace infrastructure.
So let's say we did a flat rate, would you just, your flat rate, you would figure like your treatment plant, your, all of your facilities, and then your water rate would be the distribution, getting it to the user?
Really, all of those numbers that have to do with delivering a gallon of water to somebody's tap, everything from, you know, everything, cost of machinery, cost of equipment, personnel, power, chemicals, repair and maintenance has to be factored in there. All of those costs associated with cost of operations have to be figured in.
The base rate.
In the base rate.
So when you're factoring your cost for your 1,000, the number you're putting on your water usage card, what does that number represent? So if you're factoring in $3 per 1,000 on top of a base rate, what is that $3 per 1,000 paying for? What is that structure from? Profit.
Yeah, there's no such thing as profit in a utility.
No, so, I know.
Yeah, so lots of times the base rate is that $50. Okay, that's, we have existing infrastructure. That $3 more is, or whatever that ends up looking like, that's when you're looking at your 20-year master plan and evaluating, okay, right, over the next 20 years, if we think our usage is going to stay the way it currently is, which, like I said, if you go to a tier rate, it'll likely reduce. But if we think it's going to stay roughly the same way it is, that's going to allow us to pay for some of these upgrades. That's going to allow us to recoat the outside of the tank, right, those types of improvements. So
your water treatment plant has been in for how long? Your, the main lines that are in the ground, how many of those are more than 30 years old?
Still got 90
years, 60.
Right.
The wood pipe can last a long time if you keep arrow.
Yeah. I remember when sitting in these meetings in 2016, when they were starting to talk about this rate, this 3%, or 3.5% it says here. I mean, in all reality, and it's a per month thing, it's a cup of coffee. I mean, that's all. When I was sitting in here and a lot of mumbling, I understand everybody's got dollars, but it's, when they were back, when they were doing the 3.5%, it's give up a cup of coffee. It's not like it's going to kill you.
Yeah. And
it's just prioritizing what your cost of living is. You know, I mean, so.
Scott and I have been to a number of these meetings, of course, and I remember we were at one city where it was, the conversation was with a good majority of the city was actually attending, a fairly large, small city, but it went to the, I can't afford that extra cost.
And yeah.
At the end of the day, it's, in my view, it's what is your house worth for hot rentals, water, or wastewater services.
Exactly.
You can't afford not to have safe drinking water delivered to your house and your waste to go away from your house, because your most important, most of us, most important, most valuable asset is that home. And its value is a fraction of what it is without those services. So.
And that's what we're seeing in rural. I mean, I see people that boil water every day, mm-hmm. take a shower, flush their toilet. So their house value isn't there.
It's not there.
It's not there. And, you know, so not, but that's just, I know a lot of people in town turn the faucet on. Before we had the crisis last year, I don't think most of them knew where their water came from. You know, and so when they start complaining, they ought to think about hauling your water every day to flush your toilet, because it is a different take on your water source.
Yeah, so all I say is it's, we're out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
If you turn on the tap and it's there and you flush the toilet, nobody
it's good.
Thinks about it.
It's all good.
It's when you're...
Yeah. So, anyway, so
Jason, can the city raise its own base rate without having to go through, you know, companies for the water study, or that all tied together?
Well,
I mean, I'm sitting here wondering why we can't just raise the base rate $5 or $10, and while all this is going on, because we're looking probably a year down the road, and help you guys start climbing out of the hole you're in, you know, something like that. And I'd be all for that.
No,
we can't
that.
Drink the water and not pay for it.
Correct. I just think for the community as a whole, it's best for like OAW engineering, because they're bringing so much more information into play, more so than myself or Kyle could bring to you guys, or even, you know, past superintendents.
Don't want to step further, hire them right now. Let's get the single.
Right. That's
what I said. That's what I want. I'd like to be super proactive and get this done. But, you know,
yeah, get it done.
But in the meantime, you know, like Doug said, no, I'm not a fan of all these freaking increases for everything that's going on. But, you know, I plan on dying here. So, you know, I want water.
Yeah.
So, like Doug said, $5 over the next however many months, instead of letting it sit idle at the 3% increase, because that's what will take place after this month. It'll go back to the 3%
next year.
Next July.
Yeah.
Yeah, just until the study's done and we know
right.
the exact number.
Right. And then if it's $20 a month, God forbid, or 30 or whatever the case may be, at least you've gotten that additional revenue built up to do whatever.
A little bit now and then.
I think
you need to get some backbone there, dear.
Well, I think we need to. I mean, we can make a recommendation to council to add. but we'd have to look at the city's charter and see how, what's, you know,
what
the
they
legal,
have to do to raise rates.
Yeah, all the, yeah. All the legal.
It's just that I'm willing to put, you know, because I plan on dying here too. Probably not that long, but.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of political stuff we have to.
Yeah, that's what I don't know about. So I don't
and that's what slows everything down. I mean, so our group can make a recommendation to council that we add a $5 a month increase to the water bill to help offset.
But every meter we got.
Until we get the rate study, and at which time the rate study will determine if we're dropped to $5 or if we add to $25.
Yeah, you may have to.
I think you should do that. I really
something
do.
Something in the interim besides just waiting.
Right.
Waiting.
Paul, any comments?
You're being pretty quiet.
Well, my understanding is you have to do the rate study first before you raise rates, but I don't know, you know, I'm not an expert, but I think the rate study has to be done, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've got to do that for any grant opportunities. You've got to show, that's the only bad thing about grants, you have to have a lot of documentation to show.
Right.
This doesn't have anything to do with the study. This is just an interim rate increase.
And I think we can make that recommendation to council. Again, they'll have to jump through the legal hoops to see how fast they can implement that or if they can.
It's
yeah.
Like well, according to it's a process, buddy.
Chase probably got the
answer. According to the ordinances, this is pretty important. The rate schedule may be revised anytime without invalidating the remaining rules. All water use with exception of that. Well, let me go back and start. Water rates to be charged, including minimum charges, charges for water usage over the specific minimum, standby fire protection, service connection charges, system improvements, and system development charges shall be published in a separate water rate schedule. The water rate schedule approved by the city shall become part of the section of the rules and ordinances. The rate schedule may be revised at any time without invalidating the remaining rules and regulations. The water, all water usage, with the exception of the use of firefighting, shall be metered and charged made according to the schedule of water rates. Revisions may be made by resolution. So the ordinance doesn't say you have to do a study.
So they can, they have the capability of doing that.
So one other thing I'd like to bring forward, now Patty talked about raising the base rate of our 552 meters in the city, $5. How is that going to be dealt with for the outside water districts?
So factor it in. We have a meter. We have a meter charge, the same as city people do. So
the city would get, so the water districts would get a $5.
It should be across the board, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
everybody uses
a $5 per hookup type of deal or per percentage.
Yeah, I mean,
per meter.
Yeah.
Every meter.
We could make a recommendation that it's $5 per meter inside, outside,
yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah. And whatever the other users are called that are on the line that.
All users of the water,
yeah.
It's a $5. If you got a meter, you're paying $5.
Because the city has like all the hookups that we have. They have, you know, they use each. District has so many users,
and
that's what they would just.
We might be able to. So I guess somebody wants to make a motion that we move that forward to council.
Hey, Brian, before you make your motion there, I think the most expeditious way to justify the rate increase would be referencing consumer price index.
Okay.
The CPI. So that's a federal report that's published, you know, monthly. That effectively defines the increase in cost of operations. So
you wouldn't have to have that off the top of your head, would you?
I do. For the last 12 months, it was 8.93%.
So.
So what would that be to our rate?
That's fine.
So what's the base rate right now?
52.16, right?
Your base rate?
But I don't think you want to just apply it to the base rate. You want to apply it to all rates.
Your base rate's going to be like 61.06.
So,
that's going to be your after the 17%.
Sure, 61. So 61.06 is going to be our rate as of this month.
That's the base rate?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're saying, John, was apply it to all rates across the board, just the, what your suggestion is, did I hear you correctly? Or
maybe like 550.
Yeah, so it's not, you're not just jumping up the base rate, you're jumping up the base rate, the usage rate, because the usage rate is what applies to all parties.
So what if we just did this? Is
$6.
A motion to increase instead of by a dollar amount to 8.93% across the board, or that's going to equal $5.45
per year,
per month, per
residential,
for 4,000.
For the
your sheet for a second.
For your base rate.
For the residential at 6106.
Base rate.
So that will bring in $3,646.05 a month for all 669 meters.
But it'll change on some meters if you have, if you have another, if you've got a bigger meter, say you got a 2-inch meter that has a different rate. If we set it at just 8.93%, so those with bigger meters, they're paying a little bit more.
Yeah.
Residential will pay the 545 addition. So, I mean, if those that are paying, what's the high end there, Kathy?
Just a second here. My train of thought's better work here.
Right.
Yeah. And the inflation was
8.93%. John, do you think, just side note, do you think that could be, the city council could declare that an emergency and move that forward a little faster based on current conditions?
I don't know if the procedurally declaring it an emergency is the right path. I think it's a matter of just presenting to city council justification for the rate increase. So what we have historically was the 3.5% increase. We had the 17%. Well, really only 13.5% of that was associated with the transmission line. And what we're trying to say here is that 3.5% wasn't adequate. So we need to make up that delta, and we're doing that by using this consumer price index adjustment of 8.93.
So would we want to take that 3.5 off the 8.9 or go the full 8.9 in addition?
I think you could justify either case.
I think we need the 8.9. I mean, it's gonna, we're still
so
keep it
what,
up a little
what
more
are,
now and just
do we want to make a motion of 8.93% across the board to all users? And move that forward to council.
Sure. I'm just trying to think how it's going to factor into like everybody, all the other different sources of users, how that's that 8.93%.
Well, let's see your sheet here. So residential, so outside water districts, so it's 73.91. For outside water districts. So,
but you got to take each water district has so many hookups. So I don't know.
If you just did it for each hookup, every hookup is 8.93% increase.
Does that make the outside water users get off easier than the rest of them?
No, because we're going. So whatever your
So you're getting a 17% now. You would add another 8.93% on top of that. So you're going to build
your meter base rate and your per thousand cost off structuring that rate. Okay. All right. So that would make everybody stay basically even then.
Yeah, it would be
equal. I don't want anybody coming back and say the district's got a good deal on this.
No, it'd be equal. I mean, the districts are going to pay the 17% because.
Yep.
And then they would pay another 8.93%.
Just like the city.
Just like the city. So it. So you're.
It'd be based off your usage.
It's going to be by. Okay. So you're looking. So we're looking at a 25.93% increase.
Total.
There's going to be some mumbling over that.
So that would not be at the same time, though.
Well, your July bill already went up 17%.
Yeah.
This probably wouldn't.
The earliest would be September.
Probably. October. I mean, we're probably September, October before we could get the 8.93 in.
Right, because the 70% increase isn't going to show until we get the bill in August.
Yeah, which is coming up.
Right.
So you'll get that bill in about a week.
Right.
Roughly.
Meters have been read already, probably.
So you're probably looking
2 months later.
Maybe September, how fast they can move it through council.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know. If we elect to make that recommendation, I'll get it to council early on so they can get the preliminaries done for council meeting. Right?
Sorry.
When is the next council meeting? Middle of September?
August 10th is our next council meeting. So we usually, anything for council meeting goes about to get into the packet is a week before, but we can print or send out things, you know, up until the
meeting. I'm just trying to figure out if we make the recommendation, council would have time, staff would have time to get everything done to get on the agenda to move forward at the August meeting, so it would take effect by the September.
September water usage on your October bill?
So it would come on your October bill. I think that's the best.
You're just going to make a motion, but who's going to put that motion together? And the statistics go in there because you want to put it in such a way that you anticipate and answer the questions that the council is going to ask.
Well, I'm going to have John send me his 8.93, if you would.
Yep, no problem there.
And so I'll trap something up. Council.
I think to that point, Brian, having the sort of substantive information on why it's warranted. I mean, we all know that there are capital improvement projects that need to get funded. That's not the reason for this rate increase. We're trying to explain that the current rates, because of inflation, aren't supporting the cost of operating the water system. So we need that backup from Jason to help facilitate that.
Not only that, it's going to be an interim funding source till
the rate study is done. Yeah.
Right.
It's a temporary band-aid until we can get.
So do we need to put the rate study in the same motion as the rate?
I would make it two motions.
Study has already been approved.
I thought it was. I thought we.
So it's been approved. So what are they? Waiting to
conservation and leak detection. Oh, was that the leak detection?
Yeah,
leak and
we've talked about it. I don't know. If
no, we've seen it before with every study. Yeah.
So I'll make the easy motion. I make the motion that we advise city council to do a rate study.
I second that.
Question. Nope.
Yes.
Walter, aye.
Adina, aye.
Jensen, aye.
Paul and aye.
Thanks, Paul.
Good.
September, say August 10th. You think we can get a quote on that rate study?
I'm pretty sure we can, and I encourage multiple quotes, of course.
And we'll ask Jason for quotes to present to council.
He's working on it already.
Yeah, that was included in your motion, right, Kathy?
Yeah.
And I second that.
All right. Moving on.
Next. All right. I make a motion that we increase the water rates temporarily by 8.93% across the board to everybody.
Until the rate study's done.
Until the rate study's done and we can adjust rates accordingly.
I second that.
So that would apply to every dollar value listed on the current rate schedule?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Sound good?
Including outside users, everybody.
Yeah.
Any discussion?
I'm just concerned with the language to make sure it comes across.
Well, I'll get what John has as far as the index.
And with the inflation.
The CPI. John, if you've got some fancy wording that you've seen in the past, you want to send that over, please?
You got it, Brian.
Thanks, John. I don't know. You guys might have some fancy wording, too.
If you're losing so much money for each gallon of water or each 1,000 gallons of water, that's part of your justification.
Let's go back and get a vote before we move on here.
Phillips, aye.
Wofford, aye.
Adina, aye.
Jensen, aye. Paul?
Smallland, aye.
All right, thank you.
Smallland, aye.
Now we'll go back.
The justification.
Yeah, the justification.
Well, I'm saying part of your justification is a bridge to get over the gap is you're already losing money on every gallon of water that you produce. So you're just trying to make that up to where you can make the status quo.
It is probably worse now by the time we add fuel and everything else in there.
Prices will go up tomorrow anyways.
So
cited fuel's down below $4.50 a gallon, right? Off road. Seeing an equals.
Any thoughts, Ian? I guess final remarks?
I'm glad to see you being proactive because, as we already said, it's very difficult when you get behind the eight ball to catch up.
Well, I think that's the problem. In the past, there's been so many people against raising any kind of rates that they've sat here and been stagnant for so many years.
Yeah, but every year you're not raising it, you're losing.
Losing money. See that with the difference between 2003 to 2000. That's a lot of years of no rate increase. And I know there was a cost of living increase. So.
When the rate study comes out, maybe we include that. It automatically goes up with whatever the index is.
Whoever does the rate study, it's going to show you the path for where to get your head above water, who to be in the black and not in the red, and then hopefully that path forward.
Any other questions coming? John, any last thoughts?
Nothing else to add.
Thanks, John. Paul, anything?
Nope.
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming down.
Appreciate
the information. There's a lot of good information, and look forward to moving forward. So,
yes, happy to help.
Yep.
Committee has nothing else. Motion to adjourn.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
A second. We have a vote on that?
Nope. All right. Thank you. Our next meeting will be in August. I'll work with Jason. We'll get this stuff put together.
Okay.
Try and get it over to council so they have some time for staff to do homework before council meeting. So maybe we can get it on the moving forward.